This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 102, Hundo 2. Tom.
Bonsoir.
Yeah, appropriate.
Bonne nuit. I don't know when you're listening.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Bon appetit.
Oh, thanks so much. Because you might be eating whilst listening. There's nothing wrong with that.
Grab a big bucket of popcorn. Strap in. We've done some watching. Hey, have you got news? I've got news.
Oh, I watched The Matrix. We'll talk about that later.
But did you take the red or the blue pill?
I definitely took the red one for sure. But yeah, I'll let you know what I thought about it this many years on. Sure. Did it hold up or not? Only time will tell.
Was it still fun seeing Joey Pantaleone, or as everyone else calls him, Joey Pants? He's the angry, I believe his name is Cypher, the bald guy.
Yeah,
I want to get out of this system.
Yeah. And he had that flavor saver thing, which is a look.
If you're not sure who I'm talking about, he's the angry head of department from Bad Boys films. He's damn it, I need your badge and your gun.
Give
on
me
my
badge
desk.
You're suspended.
You boys are too bad.
Too bad. We've also watched some Walking Dead and Good Place, so we'll have a chat about that. Another listener quiz.
We do?
Mm-hmm.
Huzzah.
I've reworked it a little bit.
Quiz, bracket open. Leah remix.
Yeah, I've remixed it.
Bracket closed.
Wicker, wicker, wicker.
.mp3.
That's right. It's not an mp4.
It's not a .wav.
Or m4a or whatever. No, I haven't wavved
it. M4.
Is it m4a?
Yeah, there's m4a.
That's the Apple one, right?
I think so.
I love how we pretend we don't know, but we actually
we
do.
Know this
we
know stuff.
We know exactly what it is. Kick off the news for me, please.
Sure. Are you excited for Fast and Furious 9?
Every day I think about it.
Yep. Me too. I am genuinely excited for it. There was a video posted the other day of Vin Diesel like, yo,
I saw that with Cardi B in the background just smiling. She didn't get to say anything.
Oh, didn't she at the end? She was like,
oh, she
"I'm hella
something.
Tired, y'all.
Oh,
I need a nap."
That was it. That
Which
was
is a
it.
Really good way to announce that you've joined a film at day 78 or something. Like, I'm tired at this point. I need a nap.
This is.
I don't know how long she's been involved.
I wonder how big her part is.
Probably not that huge. I don't know who they'll be pairing her up with, because they generally introduce new females into the team and then either Ludacris or Tyrese run around like the cartoon wolf from Who Framed Roger Rabbit going at them, and then they realize that that woman's out of their league, and then they get to just join the crew properly. It's kind of the thing. So Missandra from Game of Thrones, she's had that over the last few films. She's she's a hacker, and Ludacris was well into her, and
she wasn't having any of it.
No. Just because you're a hacker.
Yeah. She's like, I'm a hacker, and also I've got a lot of things on my mind, because back in Westeros.
The shit she's dealing with. She's like, move, bitch. Get out the way. Anyway, I'm more ludicrous on the big screen, please, just in general.
Just So when do we know? I mean, this movie is obvious. Do you reckon they'll try and get it out for summer?
Oh, yeah. Because it's going to be one of the biggest movies of the year.
It's a great summer movie.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
And it clears up everywhere. Like, it does well in America, but it does amazingly well everywhere else. So they're filming 9, and what they've said is that The Rock and Statham won't be in this one because they were off doing Hobbs and Shaw. So there's all the talk of, like, is it because Rock and Vin Diesel don't get along and apparently they've buried the hatchet? Okay. This film, they've got John Cena.
Okay.
So they've got a big-name wrestler in the mix anyway.
Can't have two in the same place.
They have to fight if that happens.
Hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing John Cena in the film, even though you can't see him. That's his camera.
Oh, yeah, right.
You can't see me. But there's all this chatter that Keanu may cameo in this one, but maybe in 10 properly.
What about both?
Well, I could see them doing that. That's what they did with Statham. They teased him at the very end of, like, look who killed Han. He did this. He's going to come and get revenge for his brother.
Ooh.
So I could see Keanu perhaps being involved in maybe the mirror of Kurt Russell's Mr. Nobody shadowy organization CIA bollocks.
Yeah, they're going to have him dressed as a John Wick like.
They've already said they just want John Wick in the movie. And then,
side note, didn't Keanu say he's happy to do as many John Wicks as the audience wants?
He wants to keep doing them. And I believe the deal for getting Keanu in these films is that they will allow motorbikes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there have been bikes through the films and stuff. Idris Elba's character had a super motorbike thing that he can like control with his brain. Hobbs and Shaw, ridiculous. Mm. But yeah, Keanu is mad bikes, so I imagine that they're going to work the bikes in somewhere.
That's okay. Cool. That is pretty cool.
Oh my God, they killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Speaking of cruel, we now know exactly who Pedro Pascal's going to be.
Someone under a helmet, right?
No. Well, yes, but I mean in Wonder Woman, 1984.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's right.
He's playing the Mandalorian. Mm.
Which I just assumed that the minute I heard he was going to be in it, and then they showed the photo, like ages.
We didn't see any photos of him as a character.
True, but it had to be him. It was just an assumption. But Pedro's going to be Mr. Maxwell Lord.
Yep.
I reckon he's going to be good.
Do you mean a good actor or a good character?
I think he's going to be good as that character.
I think he'll be good as that character.
Yep.
I don't think you'll like him by the end of the film at all.
In what way?
So Maxwell Lord's been around a long time. In the 80s, he was kind of like, he didn't have powers, but he was the PR expert for the Justice League International, who were a very B, maybe even C grade team of Justice Leaguers. And he exploited them a great deal for financial gain and this sort of stuff. And
perfect 80s character.
Yeah, he was like every schmarmy CEO rolled into one.
Yep.
And then in the 90s, he like got some psychic powers and was involved in an infinite crisis and killed some people that we all really like. So Maxwell Lord, his name is quite tarnished. Being that this film is set in 1984, I don't know how much of that they'll use. They might keep him good.
Well, the rumors from the movie set are that he doesn't have superpowers in this film.
Yeah.
So maybe that is in keeping with the actual comic book storyline.
Yes.
Which is cool.
He kind of gets jacked up psychic powers at one point where he can like force people to do other things with his mind, but it makes him have like hemorrhages and stuff.
Oh, sounds attractive.
It's bad.
If he is the villain?
I don't think he will be. Kristen Wiig's the villain.
Yeah, so they can't.
She's a cheater.
So this must just be the introduction of him.
I could see them introducing him now to use him in one of the, whatever Justice League or whatever they do a few years down the track, set in current time. If this is going to be 84, and then you can have him being older and corrupt.
Well, we'll find out because it's all going to be in 2020, our winter, Northern Hemisphere summer. That'll be out.
And now, a word from our sponsor. A great sitcom has to have a great catchphrase, and a great catchphrase needs a great sitcom. Coming to your TV and streaming sites next year is the new catchphrase show, Can You Not? Freshly arrived in the Big Apple, Janine is faced with people doing wildly inappropriate things. One hot dog, thanks, Mr. Hot Dog Stand Man.
Ketchup and mustard.
Can you not? One beer, thanks, Mr. Bar Person.
Any sort in particular?
Can you not? 84th and Broadway driver.
You got it. How's your day been so far?
Can you not? Can you not? Out 2020.
Here's a few dates for you.
Cool.
One happening this week. If you like zombie stuff,
obviously
it's Halloween. Marvel Zombies Return. The comic issue number one drops this Wednesday. This is kind of the series where Robert Kirkman got his big start. It's not Kirkman writing this one.
Yeah, right. But this is where that's from.
That's right. And it's a return to that original world, which they haven't really messed with the original storyline in, 14, 13 years, something like that. So that's pretty cool.
It's a fair while.
Yes. Jumping forward a little bit past this week to 2023.
Just a little bit.
That's when Universal's Epic Universe will be opening, which is that new theme park that we've been following.
Yep.
Very exciting. We know no more than that, but that's...
But that's essentially from this day 3 years away.
That's right.
Because we're already at the end of October.
And that's a pretty quick turnaround for a big theme park. And then mark your diary, December 2nd. That'll be December 3rd for us.
Mm-hmm.
Making It Season 2 is back. I know you're excited for that one. I know I'm excited. Yay. They've switched it up this year, and it's going to be a two-week competition in the lead up to Christmas. And it's going to be on four nights in a row or something like that.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Pump in some positivity.
Oh, geez, I hope they've got like Christmas themed. Like, you know how Nailed It had that Christmas season?
Yeah.
It was just brilliant.
Yeah, it has. There has to be a bit of Christmas stuff in there. Another quick date. In November, there is a documentary coming on recovery. I know we shared a story about this on Facebook the other day.
I'm really excited. Like, I'm actually, I'm so excited, but I can't. Well, as of the time of us recording this, I cannot find a trailer for it, and I really wish.
I don't think there is a trailer for it.
Why haven't they done that? I want to watch it. So Recovery, for those of you who are too young or not from Australia, was a live music program, which is so weird that it was live, considering who they had on. But they would have on, so it was the late 90s.
Yeah, let me give some context for international people.
Yeah.
So if you're in America, think TRL.
But yes.
Public access.
Mm.
So
wilder.
Very wild and not featuring commercial bands. It was all about alternative.
It was all grunge sort of rock, yeah.
Yes. For our English listeners, think TGI Friday, which is the Friday night show that Lynn's used to be on.
No way.
Yeah, she was the girl that cried milk.
Amazing.
Like, she can cry milk out of her eyes. It's really messy.
I'd ask her to do it on the podcast, but it doesn't. Well, you know the, what were they called? Something like the Tokyo Shop Boys.
Yes.
They used to come on to Recovery and do the exact same thing.
Exactly. So that was a Friday night thing. It's just that sort of chaotic live show presented by young people without too much oversight.
And you weren't too sure who was going to be on, but you knew that there were going to be a couple of big names.
That's right. And they very rarely had proper control of the bands. There's a fantastic performance from the John Spencer Blues Explosion where he essentially goes nuts and starts trashing the studio and
maybe sees
riling up the crowd and everything like this. It's great, great stuff. And for people of our age,
yes,
it is seminal memories of growing up. You had your big day out.
Mm-hmm.
You had your Triple J Hottest 100. And you had your recovery on Saturday morning.
And they would all have the same people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if I remember correctly, it would go for at least 2 hours. I think in the beginning, even three. It was a long time. And you would have everybody that was on being played on Triple J and being at Big Day Out and Home Bake and all those sort of things. They would always be on recovery. And you would get huge people. Like, I remember Green Day, Alanis Morissette, like huge people at the time would come on to this because it was the place to be. The other place they could go was Hey Hey Saturday, and that was embarrassing for fans to watch.
That's right. It was a different audience.
Yeah, very different.
So, yes, this show has amazing cultural relevance still, and it's well-loved. If you're a fan of the Saw movies or Insidious.
Yes.
Lee Whannell got his start. He was their film critic.
He's the film guy.
And he ended up writing movies and now is a bigwig in Hollywood.
Huge.
Well
and,
done.
Of course, the Enforcer.
The Enforcer, a.k.a. Angus Sampson, who you might know as one of the Highwaymen from Walking Dead.
And one of the sons in Fargo Season 2, Bad Guys.
Yes.
He was the one with the beard.
And there was something else he popped up on. Was he on Game of Thrones? I don't think he was.
I don't think so.
He was on something like that.
He's been in heaps of stuff over in the US.
So much.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know it was him because he never took the ski mask off.
He always had that. Was it like a balaclava?
It was more about, balaclava, and just he had sunglasses on. That's right.
And he'd sit in a bath. It was a very, very weird show.
It was brilliant, though.
I don't even know if it was written, but it was organized by some very high people.
Yeah, I loved every single second of it. So that's going to be on, I think the first screening is, if I've got the date and the day right, it's Saturday morning, 9 a.m., 23rd of November.
Something like that.
And it's going to be replayed on the Wednesday after at night time. I'm sure it'll end up on iView.
So it's basically when it used to be on.
Which I think is awesome.
And it's this weird thing where a good deal of the people that used to watch it while hungover and sketchy on a Saturday morning will now probably be at soccer practice with their kids.
And they'll watch it later with a cup of tea.
Yep.
Yeah, it would always follow Rage, so it was just perfect. This is a story that I think you and I will go, but some people have gotten their knickers in a knot.
Okay.
Netflix. So they're testing out a new feature that allows you to speed up or slow down whatever you're watching
I heard about that.
On your phone.
Yep.
Maybe your iPad as well. I'm not sure, but definitely a phone. So, but I mean, when I read it, I went, oh, it's just like what you can do with podcasts.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people like to listen to podcasts
speed them up.
Yeah. Get through them faster if you've got a lot that you follow. That's why I'm like, huh. But filmmakers like Judd Apatow, not happy, Jan, about the whole situation. He went on a bit of a tweeting spree. Now, this guy has made stuff for Netflix. I remember he made Love, which I really liked that show. I think I might have had two, maybe three seasons. Really liked it. He said, no, Netflix, no. Don't make me call every director and show creator on earth to fight you on this. Save me the time. I will win, but it will take a ton of time. Don't fuck with our timing. We gave you nice things. Leave them as they were intended to be seen. And I just thought, I think that's fair.
Has he never seen a DVD remote? Because you have the control to, I will often watch documentaries at 1.25 or even a 1.4.
It's just that
David Attenborough is a little more interesting when you speed him up.
I bet he is. Yeah.
Like honestly,
because he does a lot of
a little less laboriousness.
Mm.
Takes 20 years off him. It's very
young,
odd.
Young, sprightly man.
So, I completely respect his position.
I understand.
Art films and narrative, I agree. The editor has chosen the pace for a specific purpose. Yes. But why the fuck shouldn't I be able to watch Nailed It sped up a bit?
Why also does it matter? Because this is just on a phone. If people really want to enjoy an artistic film or a TV show that's been beautifully filmed and paced or whatever, they're probably going to wait till they get home to watch that.
That's right.
And they're not going to speed it up then. This is, like you said, it's for those smaller things like Nailed It or a movie that they've seen 1,000 times before. It's not going to be for whatever The Laundromat or whatever that movie is with Meryl Streep in it. People are not going to sit on the bus and watch that sped up. But I understand what they're saying, but I'm coming at it from a like a radio podcasting thing where you can spend ages doing something and then it gets played like that on the radio or, you know, someone speeds up your whole podcast that you spent hours doing.
I have done the 10-hour books. You know, audiobooks, I enjoy doing those in 7 instead. You know?
Yeah.
You should be able to dictate some stuff.
Mm. So I think that Netflix are probably going to ignore them.
Probably.
Yeah.
La 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 la.
The only show choosing not to keep up with any of the Kardashians. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So Joker has overtaken Deadpool as the highest earning R-rated movie ever.
Yeah, right.
Which is now also pushed down Passion of the Christ.
Oh, that's a movie I never bothered watching.
Because it was way up there. Did you see the congratulations poster that Ryan Reynolds put out?
I was going to ask, I saw something about.
Yeah, because it's standard that, you know, if you overtake someone else.
It's polite.
It's polite that the other person concedes victory, concedes defeat.
The defeat, yeah.
So Ryan Reynolds just put out the poster of Joker dancing down the stairs just with the caption, "You motherfucker." That's all it says.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I thought that was very clever. A little bit of news. Another thing coming for Disney Plus.
Mm.
This one's going to be a way off. But there's been a really, really positive reaction to The Dark Crystal, of course. It was amazing.
Seen a bit of it. Yeah. It looks just like the original did.
Mm. So it's gone over very well for them. Disney Plus have lined up with Henson Company for a late night talk show called Earth to Ted. And it's going to be hosted by an alien puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And his offsider that are obsessed with human pop culture. And so they have figures of pop culture come onto the show to try and educate them so they can better assimilate into our world.
Amazing.
I'm 100% there. You remember that show, Goldberger Show, I loved from a few years ago, which was a really aggressive comedic take on this. This is half the Muppet Show vibe.
The Muppet Show was just full of special guests to it, sitting there talking to Muppets.
And loving every second
absolutely.
Of it. So I'm hoping it's a bit of that vibe. My ideal is that it's Muppet Show mixed with the Larry Sanders Show of behind the scenes as much as what's going on screen. Because I love that show. Anything with Gary Shandling is fantastic. And yeah.
Did you see that? I mean, this is not in the watching suggestions, but I did watch a fair chunk of it the other night. But there was a documentary about him.
Oh, yeah. That was made by Judd Apatow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really liked it because I mean, I was not a person that watched Larry Sanders Show. I knew that it existed. I knew what it was and the concept, and I appreciated it. It was one of those things where I was like, if I see it, I'll watch it. If I don't, well, that's not the end of the world. But I, you know, learning about him and how he was so passionate about it. They said that they thought there were a few of them were talking about his the DVD commentary for the box set. Mm. They reckon that he took as much time, if not more, to make sure that the commentary was right.
He came with research notes for every episode for something he'd been there and written.
Unbelievable.
I love that, man. Larry Sanders Show is a huge part of my comedy voice and everything. I make no secret. Hey now. Like anytime I hear the words, hey now, it's hey now. And Hank is one of my favorite characters in anything ever. Put upon idiot that thinks so much of himself. It's a great show. I highly recommend checking it out.
So you reckon this new Muppet style talk show will be similar to that?
I'm hoping so because there was another Muppet series being developed for Disney Plus that Josh Gad was involved, and they're not moving ahead on that one.
Okay. And maybe this is why.
I have a feeling that there could be a bit of that, and it might be because they're going to focus on Muppet movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my God, do I want them to make sequels to original Muppet movies?
Mm. Christmas Carol?
Yeah. Treasure Island.
Oh, Treasure Island. What was the one with Tina Fey in it?
That was just the – there was Muppets, and then there was the Muppets Most Wanted. That was – she was a Russian prison guard.
That'd be 10 years old by now.
Oh, no, no.
Not that old?
I think that one's maybe 6.
Okay.
The other one's about 10 years old.
Yeah, right, okay.
And then have you got any more news? Because I've got one more story.
All right,
you go and then I'll tell you this because it's a bit lengthy, but it ties to that last one.
All right, well, this is just a quick casting thing. So Baz Luhrmann is apparently making an Elvis Presley biopic. Very busy casting for it. So he's picked this bloke called Austin Butler, who'll be Elvis. Now, he's been in things like Zoe 101, The Carrie Diaries, as in Carrie Bradshaw. Like the prequel to Sex and the City.
Carrie Diaries, I thought you meant Covered in Blood.
That'd be interesting. An interesting take. The Dead Don't Die, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So he's done a fair bit of stuff.
Nothing I've seen.
No. Oh. But you will watch Dead Don't Die. So you will have
probably
seen
not.
Him. You're not going to watch it? Oh, I think it looks funny.
Reviews weren't kind.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I didn't read the reviews. So anyway, Elvis's manager.
Yes.
The Colonel, Tom Parker, is going to be played by Tom Hanks. And Priscilla Presley, Baz Luhrmann's gotten a 21-year-old Aussie actress called Olivia De Jong.
Why is Lana Del Rey not playing Priscilla Presley?
I think she's going to be pretty angry.
Yeah.
But this girl...
That's her whole identity.
Well, maybe they did do some screen tests and was like...
Oh, she's not an actress, is she?
But Olivia's been in that show from earlier this year on Netflix called The Society.
Oh, that we live in with the Joker.
That's right. Yeah, pretty
much. We live in a society.
So, and that was pretty much the only thing I've seen her in. But, okay.
Well done to her.
It's going to be filmed in Queensland.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Well done, QLD.
It has to be the Gold Coast, right, where they'll be filming it.
Well, I don't know. So it's an Elvis movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we know when in his career? Is it just
it's
one period?
It's 20 years.
Okay, because I was going to say, if Priscilla's in there, it's a bit later.
Yeah.
But I could very much see them doing a bit of war stuff on some beaches because there was Thin Red Line filmed up there.
They could have him filming Blue Hawaii.
Yep. You've got what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That period.
All right.
Well, I look forward to seeing lots of from the torso up shots of him.
If yeah, that's right. Otherwise,
no
your
hips.
Eyes can't take it. I'm just interested to see how much color Baz can actually put in a biopic. Because everything he does is a lot of color. Just his eye, like.
Do you think there's going to be a bullshit mashup of a lot of Elvis songs in one point, but done 100%. In musical theatre style?
Absolutely. Of course there is. There's no other way.
Is Ewan McGregor going to sing You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog?
Please have Ewan in there. What if Nicole comes along for no reason and just sings a song?
Yeah, on a BMX.
Oh, yes.
Just cause.
I would go and watch that at the movies if that happened.
Maybe there'll be a song, Peanut Butter and Jelly, it's quite deadly when you're on the toilet. So I don't like. Just
make them up.
Here we go.
All right, your last news story.
So there's a film that got announced that I did not expect I would give a shit about, but I give a shit about.
Really?
Yep, Tom and Jerry, the movie.
Okay, tell
as in
me
Cat
more.
And Mouse.
Yep.
Yep, December 2020. Tim Story is directing.
What's he done?
So recently.
That was aggressive. I didn't mean it to be like that. What's he done?
Okay.
What's he done?
Okay, so yeah, he did Taxi, Barbershop, Fantastic Four, One and Two.
He's done heaps.
Ride Along, Shaft.
Oh, yeah.
Ride Along 2. And yeah, he's doing Tom and Jerry.
So it's like, okay, well.
Let me give you some facts that we know. The cast includes Chloe Grace Moretz, Michael Peña, who I love as Lewis in the Ant-Man movies, and lots of other things. Colin Jost, Ken Jeong, and Rob Delaney.
Okay.
In the film, Tom the Cat and Jerry Mouse get kicked out of their home and relocate to a fancy New York hotel. A scrappy hustler named Kyla has taken a job there, but she will lose her employment if she can't evict Jerry before a high-class wedding at the hotel.
Oh,
her
my
solution?
Yep.
Hiring piano-playing Tom to get rid of that pesky mouse.
That's awesome. Do you know, if Nathan Lane is not there as the concierge, I'm going to be so angry.
I need Christopher Walken to have a cameo as an exterminator.
Yes. I'm just also trying to figure out where we can put Martin Short.
Oh, he needs to be. Like, there's just so much potential for this. I'm sure it's going to be really silly. I don't know if it's full animated. I hope it's not. Mm. I hope it's one of those live action that they put characters over the top.
I could see that, because then if that's the case, then you could have lots of cameos.
Yeah, and then you can have lots of bewildered reaction shots of famous people a la Dunstan Checks In.
Yeah, imagine just having like Charlize Theron walking through the lobby for you.
Trump. Just like in Home Alone 2.
He might not have much on his plate by the time they
film I'm sure he would make room to be in a film.
I'm sure a lot of people would.
No, but he specifically would not care. I'm in. Let's do it.
And they're like, do you want us to tell you what your role is? No.
What role? I'm Donald Trump.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Tom, what have you been watching?
Things.
Stuff and things.
Stuff and things. I've seen some movies, I've watched some TV shows. What would you like?
Can you do a movie first?
I can do a movie.
I feel like we usually leave them till last.
We do. I watched Zombieland 2, Double Tap.
Oh,
I enjoyed it very much. I don't know how much more you need me to tell you.
It's just good fun.
Did you enjoy the first film?
Yes, I did.
You will enjoy this film.
I even enjoyed it when I watched it a couple of months ago.
Then you will definitely enjoy this film. It's not the same movie again, but it's what you like about the first movie recreated.
Perfect.
Yep.
That's a brilliant.
This is the shortest review I'm ever going to give you.
It's really good.
If you liked the first one, if you like Shaun of the Dead, you laugh your ass off at this. Did you enjoy Deadpool?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same writers. Did you enjoy Venom? It's the same director.
Okay. Oh, it's a sure winner. Okay.
Yep.
The only question I'll ask, if you haven't seen the first one, will you still enjoy this?
100%.
Okay, great.
There is a nervous character. He creates rules. There is a burly character. He likes to kill zombies. They find a pair of sisters. That's the first film.
Cool.
There you go.
Perfect. Well,
one ever.
That was very, very quick. Well, I'm going to change it up with not so much watching, but attempting to play.
Have you been playing online or playing with yourself again?
Well, both. Because
I wish everyone could see how smug I look right now.
He's really happy with it.
You've been playing with yourself again.
That's right. I decided to give Modern Warfare.
Oh, the old Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, the COD a go.
Is this the one that just came out?
This is the one that has just come out.
Okay.
And can I just give you a heads up?
Sure.
Because I haven't played Call of Duty for a few years.
Look, neither have I. It's been on multiplayer for a while, and so I haven't dived in. And it's always like chunky downloads and all that sort of stuff.
Speaking of chunky downloads, yeah. So I put the disc in expecting there to be a patch.
Sure.
Of course, there's always a day one. Always.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's all right. You download that. I didn't even have a look at how long it was. Actually, no, it asked me to delete some games.
Oh, that already bodes poorly.
Okay. Now, I looked at the games that I had, and there were ones that I'd finished. I'm like, I'm not going back to those. And there were other ones where I went, whoo, that's a big one. I don't want to get rid of it yet because it's Red Dead Redemption 2. But that's 100 gigabytes, Red Dead.
That's a lot.
That's huge. But it's on two discs, so it's all from the disc. So anyway, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, turn it on. I'm like, that's fine. I'll play the campaign.
Yeah.
I don't need to do the multiplayer yet. No. Campaign had to be downloaded too. The only thing I could do with the disc was to play the combat training where you're in like this smaller map and you're playing against the computer.
And how did you go?
Well, of course I was amazing.
Well done.
At it. But it was like 50-something gigabytes. It was essentially the whole entire game that had to be downloaded. It was a long slog.
And that's slow going here in Oz. That's
really
not American
slow
speeds.
Going. At one point, it said it was going to take 54 hours, and I was like, oh.
All right. Well, then how about I get COD for next week?
Yeah, you get COD for next week.
And I'll start installing it
now.
ASAP.
That's right.
And I should be able to get a game or two in before next week.
But I played a little bit of multiplayer.
Yes. Are you still amazing?
I am the worst person. It's like I've never played a game before in my whole entire life. I killed one person in a team deathmatch. And I died like 14 times. I remember the last time I played Call of Duty, the first map I played, I can't remember what, I have no idea, but the last time I played, the first game in the first map, I killed 14 people. And I was like, huh, that's not bad for the beginning. Whoa. I have fallen.
People have been practicing while you've been mucking around in Stardew Valley. And teach you to care about your crops.
Stardew Valley and Days Gone, where I was trying to kill the zombies.
And Horizon.
Oh, Horizon.
You spent a lot of time in Horizon.
I love that game so much. So, yeah, I'm really going to have to do some practicing. I had a friend who messaged me on PlayStation. He's like, hey, how are you finding Call of Duty? Went, I am rubbish.
You should have thrown a flashbang at him. That's run away.
Right. He said, I'm enjoying it. I said, yeah, I just, we'll play later, but you don't want me on your team right now.
Need to polish it up.
So bad. Mm. Shockingly so. But apparently the campaign's very good.
I'm looking forward to this one. I've heard the same. Is Idris in it? Or is there anyone we know? Have you seen anyone we know? Because they've done, you know, Jon Snow and all.
I haven't seen anyone.
Sam Worthington's been in one.
No? I don't think there's any, at least not, I'll have to do my research on that one. But yeah, I don't think there's been any huge. Do you remember there was one where Kevin Spacey was?
Yep. Awkward.
Lucky they bring in new ones every year.
Yep.
That one can get buried.
Yep. Well, that was one of the future games. So
yeah,
you can
it
just
was.
Pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Touching very briefly on the Jim Jefferies show, which is one of the, you know, topical news shows that it's probably the only one presented by an Australian in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he does some really great segments, and he has a recurring segment that he gets to probably every 15 episodes called basically hanging out with a cop or Jim becomes a cop. And he goes to different places in the world to show how their police system is way more chilled out and safer and better than America's.
You can watch any show, like those highway patrols, the one from New Zealand, the one from Australia, anything from England, and it's all way more chilled.
Exactly. So this is what he does. He's had one in the past where he's gone out with a couple of bobbies for a day and this sort of stuff. This week, he went out with a pair of Sydney cops on the beat, driving around with them and this sort of stuff. And it wasn't until about halfway through the segment that it was revealed that the main detective in the front, or the cop that's driving them and in charge, is Jim's older brother.
Oh, no way.
And it slowly develops through this that Jim just thought this would be a great idea to stitch up his brother on television. And it turns from this riding into a cop thing with just hanging shit on his brother. He's like, let's go for a walk down the street. And, you know, it's Saturday night. And Jim's like, come on, we should go on patrol. He's like, nah, let's just stay in the car. Jim knows exactly what's going to happen. He's like, no, come on, let's just go and check out what's happening here at Cockle Bay Wharf.
Yeah.
And they walk down there, and his brother, the big deal policeman, no one looks at, and Jim is just swarmed. And he's standing there, and he's just like, yep, see, you may be a big time cop, but I'm famous. I can't remember a better abuse of power that I've seen on a television show in a long, long time.
That's amazing. And did his brother just sort of act like, oh, he's always done this?
Yep. And by the end of it, he like, the brother begrudgingly admitted that he does love Jim and that they do have fun together.
Oh, that's so fun.
And Jim was like, whatever, you dickhead. This is revenge for when you used to pin me down with your knees on my chest and tickle me till I pissed. There's a long boiling resentment that he finally got back on his brother. And they clearly love each other and get along really well. But
siblings.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. It was very, very funny.
That has to be lurking around.
Yeah, I think they've got it up on the Comedy Central YouTube channel, yeah, and cool. Sort of stuff.
All right.
Well worth a look to that segment for a really good bait and switch.
Oh, that's really good.
Uh-huh.
Well, I told you that I watched The Matrix.
You did.
Again. Now, I haven't watched it for quite a few years. So I turned it on thinking, all right, let's have a look how this
has aged.
Yeah. In those first 5 minutes, you know, with Trinity being chased, just in those 5 minutes alone, there's so many iconic shots.
Sure. Jumping backwards, running off walls.
Yeah, all of the things. And, yeah, some of the phones looked dodgy and the computers that he was using were a bit whatever. But I reckon it holds up. For a movie that I've seen before, I put my phone down in the second half when, you know, he's starting to believe.
It's such a killer soundtrack.
It really is.
It's also driven and pulsing, and it pulls you in.
It really does. Mm. And it's just, and Hugo Weaving, he's so good. Mr. Anderson, it's Neo.
He has the best villain voice going, I think. Like, for a long time, I would have said James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
But then he's also Mustafa.
And yeah, that's
kind of softened
true.
You a little bit.
That's
but Hugo
true.
Weaving,
ooh.
You've got Red Skull. You've
yes.
got. He's not evil, but Elrond from Lord of the Rings, he's still slightly antagonistic at points and not going along with the plans.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so good.
He's so dismissive.
I loved that movie when I first watched it, though, because I went in watching it not knowing anything about it, apart from the fact that it was filmed in Sydney. Because the other two, for me, weren't as good because it wasn't him discovering who he was.
Yeah, that was
Yeah.
Therefore, ergo, inevitably, indubitably, I'm a white man sitting here telling people how it is.
That's right.
Problematic. But
that first movie is so damn good. So it's got me excited to see what's going to be happening with the fourth.
Nice.
Properly powered like a Petrelli brother. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Last two ones quickly for you.
Mm.
One is The Misery Index, which I've talked about a few times before. This is a new game show hosted by Jamil from Good Place. They have two contestants, and each contestant is on a team with two of the Impractical Jokers. And they are shown miserable stories from around the world, generally involving a bit of pain or ridicule or something like that, and you have to give it a score out of 100. Clinical psychologists have also rated that on a misery index.
Amazing.
And you've got to say whether things are higher or lower.
Awesome.
So it's kind of like Price of Right is Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But with other people's misery and pain. And the Impractical Jokers, the Tenderloins, as they're known outside their show, keep it light and just bust jokes the whole way through.
And this that's sort of nice.
Stuff. It works.
Yeah.
I thought it might be a bit of a clash of these are the four improv guys and Jamil are all from shows all focused on positivity and all about feel-good stuff. Being a show that's very negative might have clashed. But their positivity kind of overrides.
I was
going to
say the positivity might actually be the saving grace.
Like, I can look at this show and in another universe, this is Joel McHale's show and he is hosting it in his snarky, sarcastic, let's put shit on all these people's misery.
Yep.
But instead this other way is, oh, isn't that terrible? Oh, wouldn't you? That sort of stuff.
So with her, she is from an announcing background.
Yes.
Like, she didn't start off as an actress. So does it feel like she's more in her element?
She's very comfortable.
I mean,
not to say
that in The Good Place she's terrible. In fact, I think she's amazing. But yeah, okay, that's
she's
interesting.
She's very comfortable with an auto cue. And so she's there being very off the cuff and casual with the auto cue. And then you've got the four guys just improving. Mm. So the thing feels very, very loose.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Where it's probably not at all.
It's probably very tight.
Yeah, not their stuff.
Everything she's saying is probably very tightly written and things, and they go off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their job.
The other show I watched, and I've mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that I was looking forward to, is a show called Evil. So this is the story of a woman who is a forensic psychologist for the DA, And she determines whether people are actually insane when they plead insanity. And she comes into contact with a guy who is an assessor for the Catholic Church.
Mm.
And he assesses claims of miracle, exorcism, things like this to check the veracity as to whether this is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so circumstances mean that they begin working together. And there's a third guy that works with them who's their tech expert. And he's not like any tech expert I've ever seen. He's deeply cynical and all this sort of stuff. But his job is if someone says that they're hearing noises in the house, his job is to go through and check every pilot light in every electronics. And he finds what's making the noise.
That's awesome.
So this show setup feels like it's X-Files but about supernatural and demons and stuff like that.
Yep.
And there are parts when it is a little preachy about the religious side,
mm-hmm.
but it's doing a really good job of balancing the skeptic with the believer.
Hmm.
And I've watched 3 episodes so far, and the main guy is Mike Coulter, who was Luke Cage,
mm-hmm.
and he is a priest in training. He's the assessor. And we learn that he's had visions in the past, and so it makes him seem very spiritual. But then we learn that he's had those visions because he drinks a lot of tea with mushrooms in it.
Right. Okay.
So it may be that he's a former addict who is grasping for belief. So there's all this doubt going on. And yet on the other side, you've got Michael Emerson, who was on Lost. He was the bad guy on Lost. Mm-hmm. Any show he's on, generally, he's the bad guy,
yeah.
Except for Person of Interest.
But, yeah, where he was the good guy.
Yes,
yeah.
But he's got those big rim glasses, mm-hmm. and plays the creepy slimy guy. And he's in this, and we learn that he is what's called a connector. So we don't know if he's an actual demon himself.
Mm.
But he finds people that are weak or angry online and inflames them to action. So there's this weird idea going on in the show that evil now is spreading thanks to social media. So these people that might have had murderous thoughts in the past can find other people online that will talk them through how to go through their plans.
Jeez.
So there's a lot going on
in
this show.
There is a lot going on.
There's a lot of various angles and sides butting up against each other.
So how many episodes?
So I've got 5. I've watched 3.
Okay, because, I mean, I would imagine the first episode, if they're throwing all of this information at you, you'd be like, oh, this is overwhelming. Or is it sort of trickled over the first couple?
The first 2 kind of set everything up. This third one feels like it's a lot more concrete where they're going, but it started very assured.
Okay.
And I am on board with this one.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, look, speaking of on board, I was talking about the Paul Rudd show from Netflix, the episode before, and I'd only watched a couple of episodes. I've watched more now, and, yeah, it's really good.
You digging it?
Yeah. The first 2... I kind of was like, I wasn't sure which sort of angle they were going to take it. And then almost immediately the third episode went, and we're going this way. I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of like that way a bit more than where I thought it could have gone.
Cool.
It's just another shout out. Watch it because he's Paul Rudd.
He's so dreamy.
If you haven't seen him,
go and look up the photos this week of him doing Halloween with his daughter.
Yes. Yeah. Just write Paul Rudd Halloween.
Yeah, we won't tell you who he is.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. His daughter's dressed as the Wasp, so you could guess who he's dressed
as. Yeah, have a look, exactly. What else have you watched?
This isn't something I watched. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you, but I wrote down a word that I thought was hilarious of they should make a movie of this. So you've got, over the last year, there's been like 3 different Yeti films. There's been Abominable. I can't remember what the other ones were called. Don't Eat the Yellow Snow or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want there to be a movie where a Yeti falls in love with an alien.
Right.
They have an offspring and it's called Himalayan. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I was like,
Himalayan.
We talked bullshit last week about how let's make a robot.
Yeah, that
Tom
was
Uprising.
Good.
So Himalayan, why can't that be a thing?
So I immediately went to the book, the Tintin book, where he's in Tibet and there's a Yeti or whatever it's called there. So what if it doesn't necessarily have to be Tintin, but someone of that exploration, you know, like your Nathan Drakes, your Indiana Joneses, they all go up into the Himalayan to find a treasure. They come across this creature instead.
So you want to fold in some ancient alien sort of stuff. So
they've been there for years. They've come back. They've come back for something.
So it was never a Bigfoot all along. It was never a humanoid thing. It was always an alien.
Every single time. And that's why you didn't see it all the time.
Because
it went away, but it's come back.
Who are you casting?
Tom Holland. And, oh, what's the guy? He's in Sliders. He plays a dwarf in Lord of the Rings.
No, not Jonathan Rhys-Davies.
No. The guy that speaks like this all of the time and he's got a beard. I want him to be Tom Holland's sidekick.
No, exactly.
Come on, son, you can't go there.
I'm sure it's Jonathan. It's not Jonathan Rhys-Myers.
Yeah, look it up.
We've got to find this because
it's got to be looked up.
He played Gimli.
Yeah, that's right. And he doesn't actually have an English accent. He's got that posh American, I'm from the theatre accent.
I was right. It's John Rhys-Davies.
Oh, nice one.
That's what I said first. Then I said Jonathan Rhys-Myers or someone.
And yeah, it definitely wasn't him.
Tudors or something else.
Yeah, that's right. He was Henry VIII.
Yeah.
In Tudors. That's where I'm going with that one.
I like that. That's solid. I want Sam Rockwell to be an exasperated scientist. What? It's not human. It's not of this planet. A little bit of that.
And because you cast him, you can also have that character slightly shady, so you're not quite sure whether to believe him or not. Because you know how he teaches.
Oh, he's got corporate interests. Oh yeah. He's like the scientist from Aliens,
yes,
who we think are above board, but Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser.
It's Paul Reiser. Just stop it. When he hangs out in season two of Stranger Things 2. Paul Reiser, what are you up to? We saw you in Aliens. And mad about you, so we're conflicted as to what you are.
Idea for casting of the leader Himalayan.
Yeah, go.
Steve Guttenberg. That's not where I was going. Thought I was going. I don't know what happened there. I had a stroke halfway through and got stuck.
I don't know why when you said Steve Guttenberg, my thought was like John Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum.
I thought you were saying John Goodman.
Oh, that'd be pretty good,
because he's played Sully. Surely that's typecasting of giant hairy monster. I mean, they've got to have a cameo. The big Himalayan, the one that doesn't talk, is Hodor. Christian Nahn, get him in.
I don't think we need the mountain.
No.
If we're going to get Hodor, we don't need the mountain.
No. He's big and white bearded and hairy and that's enough.
Will we let him keep his tattoos?
Yes.
Okay.
Will there be a shout-out cameo picture of John Lithgow on a wall somewhere, referencing Harry and the Hendersons? You betcha.
Classic movie.
Yep.
You know he writes poems?
I love him so much.
I think he released a book recently of his poems. So, you know, if you want to start throwing hints to people for Christmas, you could be like, just tell them, you know, at dinner. You know John Lithgow's written a book about poems? Oh, it's almost Christmas, and then just leave it like that.
Do you reckon each poem is referencing one of his films? Like, what's his cliffhanger poem? I don't know why I went for cliffhanger, but danglingly precipiced here upon the edge.
And I can hear his voice.
I don't want to give any free ideas to him, so we're not going to continue.
Was he also in Santa Claus the Movie?
With
No, this one was from the 80s, sorry, with Dudley Moore.
Oh, I don't know that one. You say Santa Claus, that has an E for me on the end.
Okay, fair enough. Have we watched anything else except for the things that we have to talk about?
I saw Fighting With My Family, wrestling movie, good fun.
Yeah,
the Rock popped up for a moment.
Okay.
It was better than I expected. It was all about Paige, who's in the WWE. Stephen Merchant directed it. Cersei. What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Lena Headey. They play their parents.
Oh, yeah, that did look good.
It's good.
The trailer
fun.
Made
it's
it.
It's only
yeah.
about 90 minutes, and it is just fun, free and easy popcorn fare.
Oh, good.
Yep.
All right. I will put it on my list of things.
Worth it. I enjoyed it. That'll do you. Get out of my house.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
All right, so I think we talked about The Walking Dead first last time, so why don't we do A Good Place this time?
Sure, barkety bark, 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 bark.
I mean, I know that they had no one else to hold down the fort.
Derek.
But if there's a guy with a champagne glass full of, what are they, Scrabble
tiles?
Yeah. You might want to rethink.
I love that this means they've known for the best part of a year at some point Derek was going to be in charge because they laid down the groundwork for him being involved with making the Janet babies last year.
That's true. And otherwise, why have him, like, just why is he there?
Oh, because he's now swept up. He's a cockroach. You what, like, him killing himself? That's his.
That was impressive.
That was the biggest step of any character this episode. And he's now, just like Michael, just like Janet, he's been infected with humanity to become better. Mm. I loved it so much.
How many times do you reckon he's going to do it off screen?
Oh, so many times. He's going to come back a big brain. Yeah. You wait. By the end, I think potentially he's going to be like a reservoir of knowledge.
Agreed.
Or something like that. You know, he'll be important to the end game.
Totally agree. How much did you enjoy seeing Michael up on stage with Michael?
That was pretty great.
It was pretty funny, wasn't
it? Michael playing Vicky, playing Michael, and Jason playing Glenn, but not playing Jason. Oh, it was complicated.
It was very complicated.
Did they leave Glenn behind in a bucket?
I think they did.
Do you think he might be a mole later if he can goop up properly by the end? Because they're going to just think that he got blown up by them as well.
Michael, he was just going for it.
He was gung-ho and Jason was
holding it back.
It was a weird switch, but I think that might be the most time we've ever seen the two characters in an episode
interact together. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Molotov. What? I didn't say cocktail. It could be anything.
It was fantastic seeing, I believe his name is Todrick Hempel, the fire demon, the lava demon.
Haven't seen him for a while.
No, so that's Joe Mandy. He's the guy who wrote the episode.
Oh, amazing.
And Mike Schur, the director, forces him into the show as torture. He doesn't act. He doesn't like it.
It is the bad place.
And so any episode that Joe Mandy has written, especially if he gets to be involved in any sort of directing on-set advice and stuff, like he wasn't the director, but he was the on-set writer for the episode.
So, right.
Mike Schur makes him be in the episode because he reckons it makes him look egotistical, like he's written himself in as a fire demon.
That's amazing.
Isn't it just?
Meanwhile, I really enjoyed the puzzle given to Chidi.
Woo!
It's 4,000 clues.
I have made that noise a lot since watching that episode. Yeah, that's kind of gotten under my skin.
Other highlights?
I think it's really cool the way that Eleanor really is becoming Michael. And she's using all the tricks that were used on her back in the day to improve to now do that to Chidi, even though Chidi was the one that needed the least improvement.
And she said some wonderful things to Tahani when Tahani needed to hear it.
How important do you think that speech Michael gave on stage to the other demons will be in the end?
I think it's pretty important.
I think we might have seen the hook of this season.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I've guessed before that this is going to be Michael's test. And I just think that him saying that to the demons after seeing doubt creep in on Glenn last week and Derek choose to improve this week, I think we might be seeing a revolution kick off. Can you imagine if it ends up with like Michael charging the gates of hell with a hell army, rips his Michael suit off?
Because he didn't get to. That was your wish
for this episode. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, that was episode 5, I think. So we've still got a while to go.
Still got a bit. There'll be the break at Christmas, I think, and then come back for a few episodes. But man, we're barreling through. I think we're a third through now.
Which is about the same for Walking Dead as well.
Yes.
Now, I had read on Twitter somebody, can't remember who it was, so I apologize, but they write reviews for The Walking Dead.
Mm.
And they said, this episode's great. I found it a setting up episode.
Agreed.
It was just setting stuff up.
Can I have a bit of a stab why? Mm. I looked through credits and the writers have been consistent with the rest of the season, and I thought from a writing standpoint and most of the acting point, it held up. And I feel bad to say this, but the weak link was the director.
It's
Michael Kudlitz, who played Abraham.
Yeah, right.
Who is still relatively new to directing. He's directed, I think he's done a Fear episode before.
Yeah.
And he's done some stuff around.
He's been a part of it.
But his style is very much showing you the aftermath of things. So when that woman got killed by Negan by accident.
Who I kept forgetting who she was. She's a highwayman.
Yes. She that reveal happens after. And that's very much his style. He likes payoff stuff where there was a few. We never saw a shot of where that tree that knocked down the fence started.
I kept saying there's no way that Hilltop would have left a tree there like that.
So
you would either build around it so it's part of your camp, or you'd go, that's a danger, we got to get rid of it.
There were a few scenes in the film in the episode that lacked probably half a second of spatial geography. Of just a couple of establishing shots so we clearly knew, oh, we are on the left of the barn.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? You and I are on a different level to most people watching the show. They're watching it and taking it in. We analyze everything, and so we understand the structural geography because we have seen maps of what it's looked like, or set production photos and this sort of stuff. So when we miss a few of those elements, it can really throw things off for us.
Yeah, I was quite confused.
So that's where I think some of that must have just happened. Interesting. A little bit in there. And whether that's an editing thing or a directing thing, I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah, there were a few issues.
I agree.
But, of course, the big question is who let Negan out?
Who you reckon?
Daryl.
Carol.
She was well enough to walk out. I just wasn't sure about Carol. She was my immediate first thought. But then she does like doing stuff like that now that I think about it. But there's been no interaction with Carol and Negan, at least for ages. But with Daryl, he just had that conversation with him.
Yep.
I saw other people think it might have been Gabriel.
Sure, I could say that. He did say he was going to go and reflect on his thoughts and they've spent some time together.
But it's definitely not Lydia.
No.
There's no way.
And I would have said Judith, but she's not there.
She's not there, yeah.
They were very clever with making a few of the characters that you might expect not be there.
Did you enjoy the little – and I was only made aware of this from reading a couple of reviews, but the Michonne and Ezekiel moment.
I was about to say that made me groan.
Oh, because –
one specific line, the kiss. I was like, cool, they've done it.
Because it's from the comics, right?
It is. It is. And then – when they're sitting there and sorry about the kiss and stuff, maybe in another universe, I literally went, sorry, I did that very loud in the microphone. Apologies. I was like,
didn't.
I get it. It's a bit on the nose.
Yeah, because people who would have gotten it from the comics wouldn't have needed.
No.
Yeah.
Whereas on the flip, at the end, by having Negan out, everyone had read the comics. There's a shout out to us because I know where that's going. We've talked about this.
We have.
And Negan's in such a desperate space to prove himself.
And also he's very much connected with Lydia now.
Yeah.
He's connected with Lydia and has in the past been connected with Carl and Judith. And so for me, his actions now are driven by saving the future.
So he's a protective father figure, former school sports teacher, this sort of stuff. He finds out this kid is being abused by his mum. His mum is the leader of the bad people. There are signs up everywhere in the town where he's trying to be assimilated, saying silence the whisperers. What do you think he's going to go and try and do? I do not think this will be the first time he's beat up an abusive parent. There's a lot of that going on in the mind.
Yeah.
In the comics, it was driven a lot more by I want everyone back home to accept me.
Yeah, right.
And this is something I can do that I couldn't expect other people to do.
Which is also what is being driven here, but you're right, there is a different twist on it.
He may very well be one of the only people the Whisperers have never seen. He's been under lock and key for more than 6 years.
They know nothing about him.
Nope. And if he's off by himself, he can wander into their group, pretend he wants to join, get up nice and close, do his thing, bail.
Cool. All right, well, we've probably got another...
I think it'll be four more episodes this half.
Three or four, And then we'll have our, maybe four actually.
Yeah, and then a couple of break for Christmas.
And then get back into all the zombiness, walkiness later. Ready for a quiz?
Please.
It was really, you ready for a quiz?
No.
It was almost like, do you want some of this? This one is from Gary again.
Gaz.
Because he sent a couple in. So he said he was bored watching TV the other night and he had an idea. So he got on the internet, did a little bit of research, has given us 10.
10.
So it's every year of the 90s.
All right. That's a good decade for me.
It's not bad. It's a good one for me as well, because there are two shows from each year that he's given.
Right.
Which means that I have to give two word clues for each show. And I can tell you I've gone back several times and changed some of them.
Okay, hang on. So there's each question.
So 1990, for example, mm-hmm. you've got two TV shows. You have to figure them out. Mm-hmm. So
and each one you've given me two words.
Two words.
I guess that one, and then I guess that one.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I thought you were saying there's two, and then there's two words, and I've got to guess which one you're referring to.
Oh, no, that would be difficult.
That's way harder.
All right, 1990.
All right.
Alaska Moose.
Northern Exposure.
Nice one. And the second one for 1990, Rich Cousins.
Perfect Strangers? No.
Well, let me give you the one that I changed it from.
Okay.
Mansion Carlton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince.
I wasn't sure if it was too easy.
That's very good. No, that's a good, you stumped me there.
Well, now you kind of get the idea of how I've come up with them. We're going to jump into 1991 now. Keep it nice and easy. First off, Tool Time.
Yeah. Home Improvement.
Exactly. Second one, Trailer Trash. I think around the early 90s, what kind of genre of TV that was popular? Usually during the daytime, these programs.
Oh, so like a Judge Judy or a
that's it.
What's his name?
You got it.
Larry.
No.
Not Larry. Jerry. There we go. Jerry
Springer started. Springer. Anyway. Yeah, nice. Nice work. Not Jerry Seinfeld.
What is the deal with these people getting married?
I would watch that. Okay, 1992, Sweetie Darling.
Oh, that's your Ab Fabs.
Absolutely. And this one went through quite a few different edits.
Okay.
Adult 90210.
Melrose
Place.
Well done.
That's well done to you.
Oh, thank you. That was good.
Because, yeah, I had quite a few different versions of that and I was like, nah, they're not quite sitting right. Okay, good. 93, Believer Skeptic.
X-Files.
Nice. Second one for that year, Radio Psychiatrist.
Frasier.
Yes. You're going through the
amazing.
I'm
enjoying this. This is good.
94, Duck Chicken.
Duck
Chicken. Chicken. This one is referring to...
Friends.
Yes. Good. That's really good.
You've given me enough clue. Don't okay. Unless I wave.
All right.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
In my head, I'm like, how far back do I need to go through Darkwing Duck to remember when Launchpad McQuack joined?
No, it wasn't. No. Yeah. The second one for 94, Doctors Nurses.
ER?
Mm, ER.
I was going to say Only Fools and – no, not Only Fools and Horses. Was it All Creatures Great and Small?
Oh,
that was around 94-ish, I think.
Maybe earlier. Only 80. The Fools and would have been before that. Yeah. It would have been the 80s, right?
Get your Coke Trigger. Right. Well, I reckon we're in here.
I was watching Open All Hours the other night, which I know that's a jump, but he was in that as well. 95, Coffee Beer.
Coffee?
Beer. So beer that's coffee flavoured. My other clue for this was outdoor pool, not as in swim, as in snooker. Outdoor pool or coffee beer?
Nope.
It was a sitcom. It had a character called Mimi and she had like...
Oh, Drew Carey show. Yeah, I didn't watch that.
It was a hard one. This one was hard as well. This one's gone through many changes.
Okay.
Female captain.
So it's Trek... It's not Next Gen. Is it Deep Space? No, Voyager.
Yes.
Yeah. I had Dr. Janeway.
Nice. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, that was really good. That was very good. Because everything was either going to be too general in the world of Star Trek.
No. That was good. Okay. And I was like, I know who you're talking about. Where am I in my timeline?
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, we're up to 96. Okay. Talking Cat.
Sabrina.
The Teenage Witch and Spin Mare.
Oh, that's Spin City.
Oh, nice. I had a bit of trouble with that because I'd only seen a few episodes.
Were you a bit shaky?
Correct. That's right. Do you know the sad thing, though, was when you type in Spin City.
Does it come up with Charlie?
And he, I mean.
At least put Alan Ruck near the top.
I thought that was a bit rough. All right, 97. This one, if this was me, I would get this immediately. Unisex toilets.
That would be Ally McBeal.
Yes, nice one. What about Summers Slay?
Buffy.
Because her name was last name.
That's
was
very
Summers.
Good. Nice. There was some wordplay. I think you very written much. Down, I would have gotten that quicker.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, absolutely. 98. Mm. Just Jack.
Will and Grace.
It was low hanging fruit, but I just wanted to. Yeah, just it's enjoyable it. Saying it. Joey's Cape Side.
Is that Joey when he goes out
no,
to LA?
It's not Joey. It's another
Joey
character.
Lawrence.
No, but oh my gosh. No,
Melissa and Joey was around then, wasn't it? Melissa Joan. No. I'm about 10 years early. Melissa.
She would have still been Sabrina-ing. Mm. But he might have. Yeah. Anyway, so Joey was a character in this show. It was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina, but it was called Cape Side. Paula Cole sang the theme song for it.
Oh, so Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, so Joey was, yeah, that's right. I don't want to wait. Katie Holmes' character.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Kerr Smith was in that.
Who's Kerr Smith?
The older, he was the brother. You know, the brother and the sister?
Mm.
He was the brother. Very camp.
And he and his sister. Show.
Yes.
Like those two actors were actually way older than you thought they
yes.
were.
And I had a bit of a crush on her, the sister. I can't remember her name now, but I saw
she
her.
She went out with, in the show, Pacey for a fair
yes.
while. Yeah. Okay, final one. 1999. We're now in Oval Office.
West Wing.
Mm-hmm. And we're also watching a show about family mobsters.
Sopranos.
Yeah, nice one.
Woo!
That was a good one, Gary.
That was a great one, Gary. Well done.
I enjoyed that.
Bang on my wheelhouse.
Yeah, that was really, really good. And if you have any quiz ideas, please send them in to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Did you hear the pause where I was like, have I started this email address correctly?
I did.
thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
You got there.
I did eventually. And we've gotten to the end of the episode. Tom, thank you.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Da 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 da.